Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Kolder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and the truth of God and the truth of God's Word and understanding what we need to know in this end time that we're living in and how we can come to God and what God expects us to do. Shades of witchcraft. What does that mean? I think you're going to be very surprised. Let's start out here in Jeremiah 11, because we're going to look at the Old Testament and look at the New Testament and see what God requires. And then we will look at a couple interesting episodes in the Old Testament which shows that there are shades of witchcraft in all disobedience to God, though you may not be a practicing witch. How's that for a deception? Verse 3, "And say to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, cursed is the man who does not obey the words of this covenant." And that is true of the new covenant as well. "Which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice." Three words. Obey my voice. "And do all that I command you, so that you shall be my people and I will be your God." Let's come down here to verse 7. "For I earnestly forewarned your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even to this day, rising up early and warning persistently, saying, obey my voice. Yet they did not obey my voice, nor bow down their ear, but walked each one in the imagination of his evil heart. So I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did not do them." Now let's see what Jesus said here in Luke, the 6th chapter. And here we find some of the direct teachings of Jesus Christ. And what is it with witchcraft that they interpret things their own way and do it the way they want to do it?
Are you, in fact, witches?
Whatever the situation calls for. So if you come to me with pleasantries, you being respectful, you'll get Glinda, the good witch of the suburbs. But if you come at me with negativity and meanness and disrespect, then you'll get Eveline, your worst nightmare.
They have many names and titles and ranks within their belief system. They are college-educated professional women who've chosen to believe that theirs is a truer example of worship that is inclusive of the genders. It connects them, they say, to their ancestors and fills a need not found in traditional worship, though most of them grew up in the church.
I was raised Christian, all Christians in my family. In fact, my grandfather was a preacher in the South.
I also grew up Christian. I grew up Anglican in the Episcopal Church. The older I got, the more disconnect I felt.
I was raised Baptist. My father is a deacon. My mom a deaconess. I was in church all the time.
These women are part of a sect, Ile Ola Afefe Osa Meji, spiritual temple. They worship and offer prayers to Oshun, a predominant deity.
She's the deity or the Orisha of aesthetics, beauty, sex, sensuality.
They are growing numbers of African American women who have chosen for themselves a new life, leaving the church in search of more meaning in their lives. And yes, it can be called witchcraft. At a recent convention in Baltimore, more than 200 witches gathered, a sisterhood. But their spells are for good, not for evil. They are here, and they will be here for the foreseeable future. Yes, there are witches among us.
This is something that our ancestors did, and all we're doing is tapping back into it so that we can become our best selves, individually and collectively.
So do you have any shades of witchcraft in your life? Now, there are a lot of people out there who say, Lord, Lord, and we know the Lord, Lord, all of that. Now notice what Jesus said here, verse 46, Luke 6. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not practice what I say? Now think about that for a minute. Do you practice what Jesus said? Do you believe Jesus when he said he didn't come to abolish the law or the prophets? Do you believe him in the prayer that we are to pray every day, not our will be done, but the will of God the Father? Do you do that? Or do you do your own will? Shades of witchcraft? Let's go on. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and practices them, I will show you what he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And a flood came and a torrent beat against the house, but could not shake it because it was founded on the rock. But the one who has heard my words and does not practice them is like a man who has built a house on top of the ground without a foundation, and when the torrent beat against it, it fell at once, and the ruin of that house was great. Question: what is your life being built upon? The rock of Christ, or the ground and sand of the world and Satan the devil? Now let's see this affirmed by the Apostle John in 1 John, the second chapter. Let's see some astounding scriptures that are written, because the early church was also confronted by those who didn't want to keep the commandments of God, by those who would come along and say, all the commandments have been done away. See, because they made the false mistake of saying, oh, that's Jewish, and we don't want to do anything that the Jews are doing. Well, Jesus was the premier Jew. So how are you going to get around that? 1 John 2, verse 3, by this standard we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Doesn't that sound like Luke 6? Yes, indeed. The one who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Shades of witchcraft, Satan's way.
And so we burn incense as a sacrifice to God, as part of our worship of God. Why do we burn incense? Well, we burn incense to bless people or objects. Why do we burn incense? We burn incense sometimes to sanctify or make holy a person or object.
Now, how many times have you heard me say, the test commandment is the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week? And isn't it ironic? The only commandment which says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Protestantism and Catholicism say, no, 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 no. You don't have to remember it. You keep Sunday. And Catholicism, through Cardinal Gibbons, says, Sunday is a Catholic institution. So how can you take a man-made, devised thing and say, oh God, we're going to worship you on this day because we think this is better? Shades of witchcraft, I'll show you. Let's come to 1 Samuel 15. Let's see that there are a lot of people out there who have shades of witchcraft in their Christian belief and don't even know it. Now, here God said to Saul, and Samuel said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you to be king over his people Israel, and now listen to the voice of the words of the Lord. Now, think about that. What did we just read? Obey my voice. Those who don't? Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he set against him in the way when he came out of Egypt. Now go strike Amalek, completely destroy all that they have, and do not spare them. Kill both man and woman and infant and suckling and ox and sheep and camel and donkey. And I know there are some people who say, oh, how can that be a God of love? Because he's executing judgment against gross and terrible sinners. You know what the Amalekites did for all of their captives? They cut off their noses. So God's vengeance is against them. Are you going to go against God? So Samuel gathered all the people. They went out there. And when they got there, let's see what happened. Verse 8. And he took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive. What did God say to do? Destroy them. And he completely destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good, and would not completely destroy them. But everything that was vile and feeble, they completely destroyed. Now, let's see what God says to Saul about his actions. Verse 13, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, you are blessed of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now, isn't that what a lot of people think today? They don't obey God, yet they say they have kept the commandment of the Lord. What about you? Do you do that? Do you have shades of witchcraft, as we will see, in your life? And Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the flock in my ears, and what is the sound of the herd which I hear? And Saul said, we have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared. Now notice, typical of everything. When you do something wrong, you blame someone else. Who gave the order? Saul. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we completely destroyed. This is when God rejected Saul as king because of this. Let's come to verse 20. And Saul said to Samuel, yes, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. But he didn't. And have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, king of the Amalekites, and have completely destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took from the spoil of the flocks and herd the best of things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Very revealing about what God thinks of willful disobedience and willfully rejecting what God says that we should do. So Samuel said, answering Saul, does the Lord have a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Now, is that how you go to God? Do you obey him? Do you keep his commandments? Most don't. To hearken is better than the fat of rams. Now, notice verse 23, because this is the heart of the whole question. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Now stop and think about that. What is your life to God? Do you keep Sunday instead of Sabbath? That's rebellion. Do you keep the holidays of this world, Halloween, Christmas, Easter, New Year, and Lent and all of that? That's rebellion because those are not of God. You understand that? See, we can't go to God and say, oh, I believe. Because belief requires obedience. Do you follow the model prayer, which says, and that's in Matthew 6, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that means in the life of the one who's praying. What is the will of God? We'll see a little bit how that's covered. Now notice this. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord. I want you to think about this. How many of the words of the Lord do you reject? Do you believe them all? Do you live by the commandments of God? Do you live by the words of Jesus Christ? What do you do? Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. That's how there are shades of witchcraft. Now let's see what God really wants from us. We're to choose the way of God. Let's come back here to Deuteronomy 30, which is a prophecy for our time today. God gave us free moral agency, and he wants us to choose. But he wants us to choose him and his word and his love and his laws and his commandments. He doesn't want us to choose the way that seems right, that is actually disobedience to God, because that's as witchcraft. Shades of witchcraft. Now, you may not be a witch, I'm sure you're not, but the question is, have you ever looked at it that way to ask, do I have shades of witchcraft in my life? All right, Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15. Before I start reading, let me ask you a question. Do you have a Bible in your house? Well, in America, they have an average of 4 in every house. But how many really read them and believe it and love God and keep his commandments? Verse 15, behold, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil. In that I command you this day to love. That's what God wants. He wants your love. He wants your obedience. He wants your dedication to him. To love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, so that you may live and multiply. Now notice, not only that, and the Lord your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it. You want blessings in your life? Love God and keep his commandments. We'll see that in a little bit just again. But if your heart turn away so that you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, shades of witchcraft as we read. I denounce to you this day that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days on the land where you go over Jordan to possess it. And what happened to all the 12 tribes of Israel? They disobeyed God, and they were scattered and taken out of the land. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and may obey his voice, and may cleave to him, for he is your life, and the length of your days, so that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them. See, we all live and move and have our being in God. Now let's come to Matthew 22. Let's see what Christ himself, God manifested in the flesh, has said that's the most important thing for us to do. One of the scribes came to him, verse 36, Master, Which commandment is the great commandment in the law? Now stop and think about this. If a minister in the pulpit says the law is done away, what are they doing away with also? The love of God.
For Isaiah and the other prophets, it doesn't matter what particular religious laws say, because any law that divides us from them, any law that tells us to detest anyone, should not be remembered. Sometimes, especially in my online ministry, people will accuse me of picking and choosing Bible passages to live by. And you know what? They're exactly right.
Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Now, I could give 3 sermons on each one of these. What is in your mind? What do you think? What do you do? How do you react? This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, notice verse 40. For all of the lawless ones who are against the laws and commandments of God, on these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, what does it mean, hang? That shows that the laws and prophets are the foundation or the pillars on which the love of God comes from. You can't have the love of God without the commandments of God. It is an impossibility. Because so many people love their shades of witchcraft and evil. Now you need to think about it. See, because that's where we are. That's where we started. Those who worship the system and its religions versus those who love God and keep His commandments and have the faith of Jesus. Let's come to 2 John. Because 2 John is very instructive. Now, he wrote this when there was the apostasy going on toward the end of the apostolic age. And there were false prophets coming in who were antichrist, denying that Christ actually was God manifested in the flesh, denying that we should keep the commandments of God, etc. So here's what he wrote to the church, and we will see how difficult that it really was at that time. So he writes, verse 1, "The elder to the chosen lady and her children," that's to the church, "whom I love in the truth, and not I alone, but all those who have known the truth. For the sake of the truth that is dwelling in us and shall be with us forever." Now think about that, the truth of God. And we're sanctified by the truth. That's what Jesus said. So he goes on, "Grace and mercy and peace shall be with us from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." The world is deceit and lies. Here it is in truth and love. "I rejoiced exceedingly that I have found among your children those who were walking in the truth." And all the commandments of God are truth. That means they were keeping the commandments, walking in truth, exactly as we have received commandment from the Father. "Now I beseech you, lady, not as though I'm writing a new commandment to you, but that which we have observed from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is the love of God, that we walk according to His commandments." Do you believe that? Are you willing to begin living your life that way? Are you willing to repent of your sins and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit of God so you can walk in the truth of God as He wants you to walk? What is your life? Where are you going? And you can tell by the things that are happening. There are a lot of dangers that are in the world and are going to be coming upon us because of the sins of the people.
Nowhere in the Bible does it prohibit a loving homosexual and committed relationship. If a gay couple asked me in the next 30 days, mm-hmm. if somebody made up their mind that quickly and wanted me to do the wedding, and there's a good reason for it, if they qualify just like anybody else, yes, I would do it. Declaring to us this is a new covenant, a new Amen. Time Amen. When everybody could come to him, to his table, and everybody could receive grace and unconditional love because of his sacrifice.
We are gay and straight together, and we are singing for our lives. We are gay and straight together.
This is the commandment exactly as you have heard from the beginning, that you might walk in it. So this verse completely undoes the supposition that Jesus abolished the law and the prophets, and that everything in the prophets have been fulfilled. Oh, ho, ho, not so. There are great and fantastic things that are going to be fulfilled in the prophets in the next coming years ahead of us. How long, we don't know, but it's coming, just like the rising and setting of the sun. Now notice, verse 7, because many deceivers have entered into the world, and they bring shades of witchcraft, which is rebellion and disobedience. Those who do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is the spirit of the deceiver, who is Satan the devil, and the Antichrist. Watch out for yourselves in order that we may not lose the things that we have accomplished, but that we may receive a full reward. See, you need to understand this. The Bible is true all the way through, from beginning to end, and in it, there is not one lie. But when there are ministers and preachers who preach half-truths, they are also preaching half-lies. Verse 9, anyone who transgresses and does not continue in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. But the one who continues in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. I want you to think about this relationship. If you want to understand about God, think on this. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine that we just read, do not receive him into your house and do not say to him, welcome. For anyone who says welcome to him is partaker of his evil works. Now notice what he says. This tells you how desperate the times were with the apostasy coming in on the brethren. I have many things to write, but I do not wish to convey these things to you with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face in order that our joy might be completely full. Think about that. He had to say that I can't write it. There's so many deceptions out there, so many deceivers, so many liars, and as we could say today, so many shades of witchcraft that are mingling in with the Word of God that he didn't feel safe to write it. So the question is, what are you going to do? Again, I want you to write for this book, Lord, what should I do? And you need the book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, because that will tell you that most of the world is under shades of witchcraft. So I hope that you will take these things seriously. We have these books and lots of other literature to help you and send you to help you understand the truth and know the love of God. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Colder saying, so long, everyone.